Well, we can't accuse him because he's living an exemplary life. But where we're going to get him, where we're going to attack him, is when he prays. Put your Jesus glasses on. That's what the principalities and powers are doing. Verse 12. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Remember, you signed it. And the king answered and said, that is true. And you can see that he is feeling bad about this. Watch what he does. The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah 70 years ago, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you assign, but makes this petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. He liked Daniel. He knew that these other jokers were politically motivated and the more typical cloth of what's in it for me, but not Daniel. He didn't care about what was in it for him. So this king is going, what have I done? And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. He's trying to figure out a way to get around his rash decree. Verse 15, then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, verse 16, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, watch this. The king said to Daniel, hey Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. This is fascinating to me. Does Darius know about the God of Daniel? Did Darius know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Had he heard the stories? This God that you love so much, he will deliver you. Verse 17, and then a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. Put a big glob of wax in his own signet ring, and you can't break the seal. He rolled a stone over the opening of the pit and sealed it with a seal. Does that sound familiar? That's going to be what happens to Jesus Christ. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. There's a stone rolled in front. Verse 18. Now the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Verse 21. Daniel could have not said anything for a moment. I'm just playing with you. I'm playing with you, king. I'm playing with you. But he didn't. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel. Now the word here, of course, means messenger. It doesn't say who it was, but I'll bet it was probably a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, wait a minute, didn't we throw in three fellows? But I see, because one looks like the Son of God. I bet that's who it was. And he shut the lions' mouths. And he shut the lion's mouth. If you have a highlighter, this is a good one to highlight. Because when you and I find ourselves in the pits, Remember how 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as he isn't, but he looks like a what? A roaring lion. And my God shut the mouths of the lions." It's true with Daniel 500 plus years B.C., and it's true for you and me even here in Washoe County. That when we find ourselves surrounded by a bunch of lions and they look scary, if you cry out to the Lord, I think He'll send Jesus. And this is what Jesus does in the midst of our lion's den. He shuts the lions' mouths. "So that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before Him, my God. And also, O King, I have done no wrong before you." I wonder what all the 120 satraps and then the two other governors at this point, when they roll the stone back and then they hear Daniel, "I've done nothing wrong to my God and I've done nothing wrong to you, O great king." I wonder if every one of those other jokers are all gulp. Because what's coming their way? Verse 23. "Now the king was exceedingly glad for Daniel, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God." This is a model definitely of the resurrection. And it also shows Darius, "Hey, Mr. Deity Darius, you're not the deity. My God is the deity. He's the real God." Verse 24. "And the king gave a command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives." Please remember, we never sin alone, even though we're convinced nobody's around. When we do sin, it affects our whole family. "And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces," watch this, "before they ever came to the bottom of the den." They didn't even hit the bottom, and they were devoured. So the idea that, well, Daniel, maybe they just weren't hungry when you were there. Oh, they were hungry. You know, Daniel, you're 90 plus. You're all gristle. They don't want gristle. But were these lions, were they perfectly capable of eating? Oh, man, they didn't let these other guys even get to the bottom. Then King Darius wrote, listen to this wonderful testimony. "Hey, all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel." This is similar to what Nebuchadnezzar wrote in Daniel chapter 4. Isn't this fascinating? The two completely different, powerful men. Both had an encounter with the living God that was moving actively in Daniel's life. That's true of all of us, you guys. No matter where we go, what kind of bummer of a day we might be having, please understand that wherever you go, your steps are ordered by the Lord. A difficult assignment at work, maybe you have become one of those breadwinners in transition. You know what I mean when I say that. Or no matter what the situation is, there are people watching you. And as much as we'd like to funk and walk around with head hung low, I want you to notice the two powerful kings, and thereby two powerful kingdoms, have witnessed the powerful, active, living God in Daniel's life. Oh, there are people watching, loved one. When the doctor gives you a dim report, when the financial situation is a challenge, when there's Goliaths on all sides, some of it is about God moving us to grow in Him, but some of it has to do not with us, but those people in our lives that are watching. That's what happens here. Look at this guy. "Hey, everybody in the kingdom, everybody better not say one bad thing about the God of Daniel, for He is the living God. And steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers this God of Daniel. He rescues this God of Daniel. How do I know that? Because I saw it. And there are people in your life that have said that about you. And he works signs and he works wonders in heaven and on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And I wrote in my margin, Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. That's what's happening right here. And like Nebuchadnezzar before, once again, a pagan king has seen the power of the living God. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Outside history says that Ugburu doesn't live a whole lot longer, and eventually King Cyrus will take over. But I want you to notice there are two important models in Daniel that we've seen. There's the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the fiery furnace. And if you put your Jesus glasses on, the fiery furnace is the great seven-year tribulation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego represent God's people of Israel. And who does then Nebuchadnezzar, who put them in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to him, who does he represent? He represents the Antichrist. In the midst, or in the middle of the furnace, the seven-year tribulation, is when Israel sees, ding, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. That's when Israel realizes, uh-oh, we've been worshiping the wrong fella, and the real Messiah of God is the carpenter's son from Nazareth. So that was a very powerful model. Oh, by the way, in that model, great tribulation, fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego finding Jesus in the midst of it. Nebuchadnezzar is the model of the Antichrist. Where's Daniel? In Daniel chapter 3. He's not mentioned in that story. Now, likely he was off and out of town on affairs of state, but keep the model consistent. Who does Daniel potentially represent? I submit for you, he represents the Jesus people. Because look at this model of the lion's den. It's very, very different. He's put into the den, a stone is rolled over, and a big glob is sealed. Does that sound familiar? That would be our Lord Jesus. And an angel of the Lord, a messenger, he shut the lion's mouth and he saw me through so that I come out of my trial a little wiser. Let's make our last stop, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at that verse. Hebrew James Peter in your New Testament. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Look down there starting at verse number 6. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves, harvest, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And the church here in Rome, where Peter is at, is seeing some real persecution. It's one of the reasons why in 1 and 2 Peter, Peter doesn't really give you the definitive place where he is at. And scholars are believing that they're looking for Peter because there are many sort of anti-Christian culturalisms and laws being passed in and around Rome. And as you know, it's not going to be long until they catch up with him and then they kill him. But with all that kind of hanging in the air, one more time, verse 6, with all the stuff happening around us, harvest, humble yourselves. Don't resist God's move in your life. Be sober. Be vigilant. What does that mean? What does vigilant mean? I'm looking around. My spiritual head is on a swivel. I'm looking everywhere. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. What's he doing? He's trying to find, he is seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He says he's like one. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, all the devil really has is a mighty roar. Roar! But he doesn't have any teeth. He roars, roar, boogada! And that's where most Christians fold. But look what Peter says. Run! Nope. Go find a counselor. Go get a really good book or a tape series from Pastor So-and-so. What does it say, Harvest? Resist him. You can write in your margin there, James chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. Resist the devil, says James, and he will flee. Why is it that so many churches don't seem to walk in resounding power? I'm not going to hazard a guess, an overarching blanket over the whole thing, but I'll bet this verse 9 is a component. Because most of us don't know a lot of our Bible unless we're going to a Bible teaching church. And most of us, we sort of fold at the first puff of adversity. When he comes like a roaring lion, don't freak out, says Peter. I don't know, because Jesus once looked me square in the face and he said, Peter, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. Seriously? What'd you tell him? But I have prayed for you. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who will scatter at his hollow roar. What do we do, Harvest? Verse 9, resist him. How? Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And maybe a new page out of the Daniel Handbook of Spiritual Warfare. Let's try getting on our knees a time or two. Setting aside at least once a day, maybe more, when no matter what's going on, I'm going to stop for a moment and I'm going to pray. Set your watch to 3:20, because when it goes off, beep, 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 it reminds us of Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ask of me, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, but God has for those who love him. So there for a while, we did it last year, and it was at the same time as Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade in Southern California. Resist him. How do you do that? Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers all over the world. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while. I wish it said, you'll never see anything that will challenge you ever again. You give your heart to Jesus Christ and it's butterflies and rainbows from here. It wasn't for Peter. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Perfect is the Greek word katarzo. And it means to mend what has been broken or torn. What's the next one? Establish. That's another Greek word I'm not going to try to pronounce for you. It's beyond me. But it means to make stable, to place firmly, to strengthen. That's the Greek word that means someone or something now has a foundation. And to settle. To be at rest and at peace. You guys, when it's in the middle of your lion's den and they're all roar, I get it. The knees get weak a little bit And there's a part of you that looks around and says, am I the only one in this? The first model was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was Israel. What is this model here? Den in the lion's den. It's a model of the New Testament believer in the midst of a trial. And Peter says, don't sweat the lions. If you're sober, if you're vigilant, God is going to work after you get out of your lion's den. He's going to perfect you. He's going to mend what is broken or torn. He's going to establish you. He's going to make you stable. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to make you immovable, unflappable. You won't want to quit. And he will settle you in a firm foundation. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for Daniel the lion's den. It's a precious story. The fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's a model of Israel finding Messiah in the midst of the tribulation. Daniel is a whole other model. That's a model for us. When we find ourselves surrounded by lions, don't freak out. Rest and return. Word, worship, pray, and fellowship. Perhaps even establish a set time every day to pray. And then trust. The door is going to open. Out of the lion's den you will come, and you will be perfected, strengthened, and made unflappable. With our eyes closed, if any of you need some of that right now, if you have that freedom, just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I need some of that. And forgive me, Lord, when I shoved the door open to my last lion's den, and I ejected myself prematurely. I was so frightened and so scared, I jumped out, Lord. And I wasn't perfected and I wasn't strengthened. Lord, if it be your will, I know it's a tough old prayer to pray. Next time I know better, your angel is with me. And he shuts the mouths of the lions. And I'm going to make it. Because in these last days, Lord, if we're going to see more of these catastrophes that you might allow for this nation, the convenience Christian is not really going to answer the world's cry. The shucks, golly, kumbaya churches are not really preparing the saints for what's potentially to come. And Father, we pray here at Harvest that when you return for us in the rapture, will you find faith here at Harvest? Will you find people that have behaved ourselves, trusted you in our lion's den, and are now ready to shine for you in these last days? In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, Amen.